Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Sarah Kewer.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And this is Thank Fuck For That, a podcast in which we hear stories from our guests about the moments in their lives that might have changed everything.
Whether they are huge near misses or small, seemingly insignificant choices, we all have stories that we look back on and wonder, what if?
Our guests will bring us their best Thank Fuck For That moment so we can delight in how different their lives could have been. Hello.
Hello. I was waiting for you because I usually say hello first.
Yeah, but I like that.
Oh, you like it?
It sets a precedent so I know what to say.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you were like, I like this power dynamic.
Yeah, I like that you begin and I follow suit.
Yeah, all right.
I'm a sheep.
We're recording this a day after Valentine's Day.
Yeah. You were busy.
When was I busy?
Last night. Yeah. With who?
Also, you know what was funny? I realized I wasn't busy at all.
Did you not have plans?
No.
Did you not do anything at all?
We're not like Valentine's Day people.
No, neither are we. We went to a friend's house and played Articulate.
I mean, that's romantic.
Yeah. And then we all fucked.
No, but I mean, Louisa made
cupcakes for the hang, for the friend hang.
Okay, that's a bit romantic.
It's romantic, yeah, but it's not like specifically about me. So we did cards. We gave each other cards, but yeah. Last Valentine's Day was an absolute disaster. So,
what did you do?
We went out for a meal, and it was
oh no,
and it was a terrible mistake.
Well, chaos.
Contextually, this time last year was not a good time for you or I.
Oh God,
because we just lost a friend.
Yes,
and Louisa decided that her plan was to try and like just get me to do normal things. So she was like, "I know that like you're having a really hard time, but let's go for a meal." And we went to this tapas place. We went to this tapas place.
Did you just cry?
Yeah, I cried through the whole meal.
Oh,
and
God.
The funeral information came through whilst we were at the table.
No.
I wept the whole time. It looked like we were on the worst date in the world, but like nobody was refusing, like nobody was leaving.
Yeah.
Louisa just kept buying
more wine. For some reason,
wine.
You both decided to stay.
We're just surrounded by tapas. I'm just like fully sobbing. Like this woman, the waiter came over and was like, "Are you guys okay?" And I was like, "Everything is lovely, thank you."
Oh God.
I was just like having the worst meal ever.
Oh.
It was, so we were like, maybe we'll skip it this year. Maybe we'll skip the Valentine's Day treat.
That's not what he would have wanted.
That's not what he was a romantic at heart.
He was a romantic at heart.
Yeah, he wanted me to cry in tapas bars.
Well, actually, I think he would have thought that was really funny.
Yeah, he would have found it. It was really funny.
Anything that happened to do with me crying in ridiculous places because of Paul, I knew he would find really funny.
Yeah.
Like, I told you that story, and I apologize if I told it on the podcast before, but I don't think so. Of me, I was doing those dance classes last year at this time. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Musical theater for beginners. All right? Absolutely crushing it.
It was just a really wholesome thing for
it
you
was
to
so
be doing
wholesome.
At that time.
It was so wholesome. And I, you know, obviously, like, it was a rough time and stuff. So it was kind of giving me this joy. And then the song they played during the warm up of the thing was Disco Inferno, which had been at the end of Paul's funeral because he was being cremated, and Paul thought it would be really funny to play Burn Baby Burn,
which was so funny. Yeah,
it was so funny. But that's
a dance song.
It's apparently from Saturday Night Fever. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. So they only played musical theater songs. So they played this song during the warm up of the musical theater. And like the first dance class after this funeral and for the subsequent four or whatever, I was like bawling my eyes out whilst doing like.
Still going. Bashing out the moves. Like, body popping.
And then and I was just I was just like, oh, I hope no one notices or whatever. But it was so noticeable. Yeah. I was just sobbing.
Did anyone say anything?
Yeah. So finally, after like in like the second or third time it happened, the instructor was looking at me really weird. So then we were doing another dance, and he was going to use that song again. And I was like, can I just ask you? Could you just not? Could you not play this song?
It really moves me.
And then he was like, why? Just, he said, do you have a request for a song? And I said, just any other song than Disco Inferno. And then he like put his hand on my arm and went, I get it. And that made me think that he did not get it. Because that sounded like he was like, this girl has been fiddled to Disco Inferno and we need to turn it off because that's her trauma. God. But I didn't want to go like, no, you don't. Like, it wasn't that. It's just that my friend died in the funeral.
Yeah, and he was at the funeral and it was really funny. And we all laughed.
I was just like, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was very...
This
like
girl
his face
clearly has been like, in a Disco Inferno.
Yeah, like his face was like... You know when someone, it was like 5 degrees more intense than what the problem was.
He was imagining something way
worse. Oh my God, like I can't even imagine what he was imagining. But I just didn't
want
to get into it.
It got him to stop.
Yeah, he stopped playing Disco Inferno. But yeah, that was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, so that's why I don't go out for Valentine's Day. That's why you don't dance anymore.
No, the reason I don't dance anymore is because of this podcast.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Why?
It took all my...
You broke your legs?
It broke my legs and took my joy away.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. She'll never dance again.
No, just it was on Wednesdays and we usually record on Wednesdays.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we can work around your dance.
No.
No.
This is not the takeaway from this.
No, I think we should figure this out for you.
The takeaway is not we have to get Mickey back to beginner's musical theatre.
Back to Disco Inferno.
It's your dream.
Yeah.
You love it.
It is actually my dream, guys. Comedy is my way into musical theatre, I think.
I think, yeah.
Not yet.
That's a natural progression.
People become all sorts of things from comedy, you know? They become actors, they become...
Depressed.
And I think musical theatre is right around the corner.
Somewhere in the middle of those.
Yeah, somewhere over the rainbow.
And you start singing it.
And then where you find out that I have no talent.
Yeah. Do you think, what musical would you be in if you could be in a musical?
I do actually love musicals so much.
Yeah?
But I don't know. Maybe Cabaret?
Cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that'd be nice. I'd be a Magic Mike, I think. Can I tell you a story about a cabbage? I think I spoiled the ending of the story.
I think of the story as cabbage.
Yeah, that's the ending of the story. But I tried to make Louisa a meal the other night, and the meal called for a cauliflower, and we went to the shop.
You really have to.
We went to the shop.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find any cauliflower, and suddenly she was like, "Oh, there's one," and I picked it up. I was like, "Great stuff." We got home, and you know how that goes.
That you're still telling this.
Yeah, cauliflower has like green stuff around the edges, like out the sides.
I wonder what's gonna happen.
Let me tell you, I'm peeling this cauliflower, and I'm like, where the fuck is the damn cauliflower?
Yeah, sure,
I keep peeling it.
Yeah,
saying to Louisa, this cauliflower is so small.
Wow, yeah,
it's somewhere in here.
Yeah,
I was like, it's somewhere in here. Yeah. I know.
I wonder what happened.
I was like, I can't. Find it. I was like, I'm going to have to do that thing where you email Sainsbury's and go,
you
sold me a really shitty cauliflower.
Yeah.
And you'll, honestly, like 10 minutes in.
You'll never guess.
We figured out. It was a cabbage.
Oh my god.
I'd just been peeling a cabbage for 10 minutes, hoping to find a cauliflower inside.
How are you a stand-up?
I don't know.
How?
The punchline is...
The punchline is at the beginning.
That's what happens in all of my new material nights. I'll go, oh, I'm going to tell you this story about a cabbage. And I'm like, fucked it. And at the end, I go, it was a cabbage. And they go, yeah, we kind of figured that out.
Yeah.
You're
but you know what I like?
Subverting the form.
Yeah.
I am subverting the form.
You are subverting the form, and you're still telling it with all the enthusiasm.
And all the little markers as well. Like,
Yeah. Okay, well, maybe we can edit that together.
Yeah.
So that the cabbage is at the end.
Make me sound good.
Yeah. And make me sound really jaded. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, why isn't she giving Sarah
Mickey really
the
hates
time of day?
Listening to stories now. Oh, go on.
Oh, it was cabbage, was it? Big surprise. People were like, it was a big surprise.
It was. That was a real shock. We didn't know.
Okay. Well, so nice to be here. Should we tell people? First of all, thank you to the people who've signed up to our
Patreon. Well, that's new. Thank you for signing up. Please sign up if you haven't already. If we'd really like to keep making this podcast because we have fun together, and Lucas needs a home.
Mm-hmm. We love making it, but we need more people to sign up so we can actually continue making it.
Because we're doing this all ourselves.
Yes.
And we don't have any money.
We don't have any money, and it's actually a lot of man hours.
It's a lot of man hours.
So please do that. We absolutely love that people already have, and yeah, we just need more.
Yeah, and email us if you have any thankfuck for that stories.
Yes.
Please send us an email. Our email is thankfuckforthat@gmail.com with no you in the fuck. That is a crucial part of the email.
Also, can I just say now that me and Sarah decided to do some previews together. We're going to do some previews together.
Yeah, we're previewing.
You're really going to laugh because I only realized this the other day. Because we'd sent like dates of like which ones we could do, and there were two, and they were really separate, like the emails. Yeah, they're next to one is on Sunday, one is the Monday after. Like, we didn't realize that it was...
We're doing two in a row. We're double backing. Oh, this is embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing. I didn't even realize.
Fuck. Like,
neither of us realized.
No, I mean, that's not something I would ever realize.
We're going to have to do our best to fill these, I guess. Please come to those.
When are they?
One is on the 16th of April. And guess what? The other one's on the 17th.
What is wrong with us?
What is wrong with us?
Hey, that'll be fun though.
One is at 2 North down on the 16th.
So much hangs.
Yeah, it will be great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, should we get our guest in?
Let's get our guest in. Our guest this week is the fantastico.
Ooh.
Brilliant comedian, actor, podcaster, writer, charmer, lover.
Twitcher.
Does he have a Twitch?
Yeah, he was really twitching during... is that right?
I don't know. During the lockdown.
During the lockdown. Yeah. I don't know if he still does it.
No, he was definitely twitching for a while.
Hmm.
And his name is Ed Knight.
Ed Knight.
Very excited to have him. Let's
bring him in.
Get him in.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN. Yeah.
Ed Ed Knight.
Good stuff.
Ed, welcome to the podcast studio.
God bless you. Thank you for having me. How you doing, Mickey? How you doing, Sarah? Producer Lucas, it's good to see you.
This is not how you Who's the guy who plays Elvis whose voice is like stuck
that way? Oh, I love
Austin Butler. Yeah.
I feel like that's what you're doing right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to make my voice deeper for like to make people sort of like.
Oh, apparently loads of boys do this.
Yeah, my voice is like this. My voice, but I don't have to like make an effort. This is like what it's naturally like.
That's already quite
now
low.
I can't remember it.
It's sort of this is like
that sounds like you.
That's more like it. But then like if I'm chilled out, my speaking range is like a little bit lower.
Yeah,
and it's good. I'm trying to break into ASMR.
Patrick was
stuff.
Doing this the other day where he apparently read that loads of boys just have naturally like lowered their not naturally but like have purposefully
deliberately
lowered their register.
Yeah.
So he was doing a test to see where his register actually was, and it was like way higher.
Yeah.
Than
yours.
But now he doesn't know how to talk like that because he's like trained himself to.
I keep what
and
it
I
is.
I said, don't talk like that. I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah,
hello, it's me.
Hello.
My name is Ed Knight.
I'm like a sort of like a classical bass.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The room is vibrating when you.
Yeah, the mic probably won't even pick it up.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not even. I hope you've got a lot of bats and dolphins that listen to this podcast.
We do.
Yeah.
That's the other way around.
Shout out to the bats and dolphins.
Oh. Love you guys. Okay.
That was so good.
Thank you. So tell us, Ed.
Hi.
We should ask you.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever had a near-miss experience?
Loads. I was trying to think of one. On the way, and it's really hard. I was like really injury.
It's
really
you've
difficult.
Had too many.
Yeah,
pick one.
Just no, like I've had. Well, this is the thing. You know, it's hard to think of like, sort of times when your life has gone differently because you're only sort of really conscious of the way your life has gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No. You're making a point.
And thanks for all the near misses, I'm pretty sure I have quite significant brain damage. My memory is like not very good at
Let's
all.
Get into that.
So that's why I picked the one I picked. Like, you know, I think all things considered, I'm a very lucky guy and I've led a pretty charmed life, you know. I'm very thankful for that. But I've also, when I was a teenager, I thought I'd start doing parkour. And so I started doing
parkour. We've never had a parkour story before.
Sweet.
I knew it would be you.
So I've got a couple of friends who are like really good at parkour still, and like they make the videos and stuff, and I was like practicing on my street and learning how to do it and jumping all around the buildings and the flats and stuff, and I thought, yeah, I'm pretty sick now. So then there was like
you were jumping around the buildings and the flats.
Yeah, so there's like flats on my street, there's like an estate. I was like, because they've got like high walls and like different types of levels.
Oh my
and
God,
stuff
already there's so much jeopardy in this story.
Yeah, so I was doing a lot of jumping and rolling and sort of Kong jumps and vaults and stuff like that.
And you have any technique, like did you know?
I was watching YouTube videos being like, here's how to do it.
Think it's the last thing that should be self-taught.
Yeah, no, I didn't go to like any clubs or anything, didn't have a teacher.
Yeah.
No. Very much an autodidact of the streets. The parkour streets. I figured if some French cunts figured out how to do it on their own, I can do it.
That's the real takeaway from
that. Yeah, exactly. Some French cunt could do it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can do it.
I think I must have known you like probably like 8 years now.
Yeah, at least.
I don't think I've ever seen you jump.
Yeah.
Ever.
Oh, I learned my lesson.
This was a different life.
I've never seen you do any kind of dynamic movement.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Your one setting is walk slowly.
I'm like a still guy, do you know what I mean? I'm a very like tortoise.
I'm about to find out why.
You know that fable, Sarah, of the tortoise and the hare?
Tell it to me.
Well, I'm kind of like the proverbial I can't really remember how it goes.
Yeah.
But there was a pretty slow chap I seem to remember called the tortoise involved in the story. And, you know, he reminds me a lot of myself.
That's true.
Mm.
Who's the hare?
I can't really remember.
Your friend.
My friend who does parkour really good is the hare.
Yeah. But loses every time.
No, he wins every time. Oh, I think the moral of the story is the tortoise always loses.
Because
it's really slow.
Yeah.
No, I think it's slow and steady wins the race.
Is it? That doesn't make any sense.
I'm pretty sure that's
Well, if you've got a race between two people, surely the fastest one's going to win, Mickey. What are you
talking about? Rewrite this one. You rewrite this.
What are you talking about,
Mickey? It's true that the hare takes a nap.
That's
the thing. The hare lies down, takes a nap because he's a fucking
idiot. Ties itself out.
Because you can be as fast as you want, but when it's time to nap, You must nap.
It's to teach children not to nap.
Yeah. Don't take naps.
I thought
don't sleep,
kids.
The fable before. I thought you said you'd never heard of it before just now.
I was being silly, Edward.
Ah, okay.
You know me.
Well, that's the story. The parable makes no sense to me because I saw any competent racer would surely know not to have a sleep in the middle of the race, no matter how. All I'm saying is Usain Bolt holds the world record for the fastest 100 metres, and he's also, I've never seen him lose a race. Do you know what I mean?
Or sleep.
It's or sleep. Yeah, it's always the fastest guy.
I've watched him sleep a bit.
You've been in his house?
And he's fast, man.
Oh, right.
Fast guy.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. So, yeah.
What was this? Anyway, so there was some parkour on my street, and I was like, I've gone pretty good at some of these moves. And so I'm pretty good at some of these moves.
What kind of moves are you doing?
So there's like different ways to like sort of to sort of traverse like a sort of different like
walls,
heights and walls and stuff. There's ways to get like there are like sort of a set of prescribed moves that you can do that sort of maximize like. Like distance or height traversed, and very like economical in terms of energy and stuff. All those French cunts,
previously
mentioned, they figured it all out.
When you jumped, did you do the roll?
Yeah, I tried to do the roll and stuff. Yeah, I wasn't very good at it, but I tried to do the roll
because that's how you stop the momentum, right?
Yeah. You do the roll, you carry on.
Instead
of taking it all in your knees.
Yes, yeah, right.
And there's a move called it's like some kind of vault where you go like hands first to get over a wall, and like you bring your legs through the gap in your hands, and that's how you get over.
I've seen that. Yeah.
So I'm getting pretty good at this one. And I went back to my house and I said, I knocked on the door and I said, hey, Mum, come check this out, what I've been practicing. And I went to do it off this big high wall, and I caught my foot on the wall. And I woke up like 10 minutes later.
You took a nap?
In my house. Like extremely concussed, like all the right half of my face like shredded, and like had to go to the hospital, and the doctor was like, it's a miracle you didn't like completely cave your skull in. And like we had exams in school like that month, like just internal exams, and I had to get a written note from the doctor to be like, this boy will not be mentally firm for a while.
Mentally firm.
Yeah, like, and so
your mom must have just been so, like, imagine, like, watching that, like, go on, honey.
Yeah.
Go on. Like, waiting.
Ah, and your kid why just, would like, you make me watch?
Your kid just, like, box himself against the wall, and you're like, oh, God.
So she said, what happened is, like, I caught my foot on the wall and flipped over and went, like, head
oh, my God.
The pavement.
Oh.
And so it's like the only time I've been, like, cartoon style knocked out for a long time. Yeah. Concussed, and, like, I was out. Like,
your mom's dragging you back into the house. Like, why is my kid so fucking stupid?
10 minutes might have been an overstatement, but yeah, I was like out cold for a bit. And if I hadn't gone to show my mum, then I would have just been knocked out like on the street for God knows how long.
Christ.
Yeah.
So did you like change your behavior after that? Like, did that make you aware of the dangers of?
Absolutely. I was like, that's, you know, I've learned about the dangers of exercise. I'm gonna go back in my room where I was before.
That was the takeaway.
Yeah, I was like sit in my room.
It's your origin story.
Became like a real like neat incel. I spent like 16 hours a day on my computer on different forums.
Oh my god!
Just like
it's the only way to be.
Yeah,
this is the safe.
Exactly,
way
it's
to
the
behave.
Safest way to live your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How old were you when you smashed your head open on a pavement?
You won't believe this. I was 15 years old. It's older than you were thinking.
Yeah.
I thought you were 12.
No, I was 15, but I was a late bloomer, so I looked like I was 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
but mentally, you were 15.
Mentally, not for long.
Yeah. Wait, so this is like right when you were approaching sixth form.
I was in year 10. I was in like year 10. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like walking around school with like a Wile E. Coyote bump on my head and like no skin on the right half of my face.
Your mom's dragging you off the pavement. Going, oh, we got to get this kid some fucking friends.
Yeah, exactly.
Get him a social life.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my god.
Oh, parents must be so stressed all the time.
Yeah.
It's just, and then when you like are literally like the things that happen to your kids where you actually just witness them like falling over and like hurting themselves and mashing up their face is just so annoying.
How was your mum with it? Because I feel like my parents were always ridiculously at ease with us hurting ourselves. They were always like,
Yeah, my mum was kind of the same when she was a kid. I was like a bit of a, like a rough and tumble kid. Like, yeah. I don't mind sort of getting knocked about a bit. But I think she understood that time that it was a, sort of a, an injury of a different order. Yeah,
because you weren't getting back up.
yeah, when it's like 5 seconds gone by and I still haven't got up yet.
Next, you're going, Ed.
Come on, that's very funny. Good bit. Yeah, good joke, Sam.
Ed, you fucked it, Ed.
It's like a medallion of blood forming around my temple.
That did not look good, Ed.
Yeah. Well, see, it's sort of, especially like now you get older and you hear about all those like people who've like been hit in a street fight and hit their head on the pavement and just died instantly.
Yeah.
I think, oh God, that could have been a lot worse than it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to hurt myself a lot as a kid, so I think my parents were just used to it. My mum did too, like...
But something about you face down on the...
on the pavement, yeah. Family Guy style. Must have set off alarm. It must be just difficult sort of having children and realizing as well, sort of especially when you're like 15 and you're on the cusp of sort of like growing into adulthood, realizing that your son is absolutely not equipped to handle the outside world on their own.
You have to take him into the hospital and be like the idiot was doing parkour.
Yeah, my 15-year-old son was doing parkour and nearly killed himself.
What story would you make up instead? You'd be like, I hit him with my car.
I hit him.
yeah, exactly.
I beat him too hard today. I beat him with the metal side of the belt today. That's what happened.
I will be reminding my children every day how weak they are.
Yeah?
Yeah.
They need to know.
Otherwise, you've
got to strengthen them up. Yeah,
you got to. Absolutely. No, you just...
No. No. They need to know how frail they are and how hard the world is.
Oh, I thought you were trying to just, like, prepare them for life.
Yeah, like really tell them. Mm. And then when they hurt themselves, inevitably, you can be like, what did I say?
Yeah,
never have it be on you.
You could just go, whenever you get hurt, don't forget it's your fault.
It's your fault.
You did this.
Yeah, brain-wise, emotionally.
So do you think this concussion is one of the explanations for... the Ed knife we see before us today.
I think it's one in a series of head injuries that like there was like another one I was thinking of doing about time that like I woke up after a Halloween party and had like black bruising all down my body and like I couldn't move my arm and the hospital thought it was broken until I got an x-ray and it turns out it's just like it was all like swollen and pressing on my nerves or something and no one could remember what happened and it turns out I fell down the same set of stairs 4 times trying to get to the toilet. I was 22 and
no, I think that's better. I think that's an appropriate age for that to happen. Like if you had been like, I was also 15 when this happened, I would have been like, that's too early.
I was in the group chats trying to figure out what happened. I was like, no, I can't remember anything about the party. And like 9 months later, my friend's little brother was like, remember that party? He just watched me with a drink in his hand trying to get up the stairs 4 times and failing.
Oh my God.
And he didn't help?
No, he thought it was quite funny. I imagine it was quite
funny. Yeah, it sounds really funny.
Yeah,
I'd watch that. I'd gather people around, be like, guys, come check this guy.
He's
trying to get up the stairs.
He's on number 3.
Yeah. He's on his third go.
Kids
are horrible.
So yeah, it probably explains a lot about
it. Really does, you know, all these brain injuries.
I'd like to see like a movie of my I can't remember, so like I'd like to sort of feel how I felt when I was 15 or see a film of what I was like before that happened to me. Just to see if there is any difference.
There's no video of you before 15.
No.
It doesn't exist.
No. Maybe it's like, you know, one of those people that goes into a coma and then wakes up and they speak French or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think that's possible, but I think they're all taking a piss.
I believe it. Accents are hard.
Yeah, but you could easily like...
They're secretly practicing the accent, and they have their horrible trauma, and then they're like,
the knowledge needs
now
to be
is
your...
my time to shine.
The knowledge needs to be in your brain.
This is what I'm saying.
Like you can't just know something from nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like none of us know any language before we learn it. So if you haven't learned French, you can't just speak French out of nowhere.
Yeah,
I reckon I could.
Yeah, you think you could?
Yeah, after the right kind of hit in the head, I think I could speak French.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely. There are some.
Let's try it.
I'm pretty confident.
I think probably the staff of the NHS are just overworked and they can't pay much attention to every sort of individual.
Yeah,
patient.
You were English before, I think.
Yeah, so someone wakes up from a coma and is like just sort of. Like slurring their words, the nurse just probably picks up the clipboard and writes this cunt speaking French and just goes on to the next week, you know what I mean?
We you should ask me about like a sliding doors. Do you have like a sliding doors moment?
Yeah, I've got like a 4-in-1 for you. How's that?
Yeah.
I was thinking about this.
Yeah.
I was thinking about the ones, any sliding doors moments on the way.
I'm going to count my hand.
Here, I'm not sure if it's exactly 4. Please forgive me if it's not.
I'll make it 4.
But I was on the bus, on my long bus here, thinking maybe actually, like about this one, and then figuring out that a lot of them are linked. So basically, a few years ago, I was asked to host like a travelogue documentary comedy show for one of this country's top broadcasters. I was very excited by this.
Dave?
I'll tell you guys afterwards. Oh, okay. Very excited, but it wasn't going to be like a huge project. I don't think it was. It might not have even been on TV. It might have just been an online thing. But regardless, it felt like a big deal at the time because it would have been the first time I'd done like a mainstream TV thing and not just been somebody that people on the comedy circuit know. Anyway, we did all the prep and we met all the talent and the interviewees for the documentary. And then filming was like some kind of scheduling error and filming was pushed back to March 2020.
I wonder what happened.
So I was like, okay, well, I'm out. I've cleared everything from my diary, moved everything around to make it work. Like I rebooked my flights to the Melbourne Comedy Festival, which I was meant to go to, and like I'd been chatting to somebody on Hinge, and I was like, very big timing it. I was like, sorry, I can't meet up on anymore. I'm actually flying to a different country to film a documentary, and then I've got to go to Melbourne, and then obviously everything got cancelled.
I'm going to be traveling a lot this year.
I'm actually going to be traveling a lot.
Barely going to be in the country. Won't see my own house for a long time.
Yeah,
going to be out and about.
It was like a first day, and I was like, sorry, I got to cancel because I'm a showbiz kind of guy.
Yeah.
So then it all got cancelled and I kind of had to like...
She was impressed.
...message back. I think she said, and then be like, are you still around for a drink because I've lost my job? But then by the time the drink came around, it was the day that everyone thought we were going to announce a lockdown, but didn't. So we went for a drink and we're about to celebrate our 3rd anniversary. That's a nice story, isn't it?
That's really nice. Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So that's apart from like the lost work moment. And all the deaths.
But yeah, but
good
that's
for you.
Yeah, that's fine. Good for me. I don't mind.
How's your career?
That's so nice.
But I'm happier than I ever been. Actually,
and I've met her, and she is.
She's awesome. She's a big fan of both of you.
I'm a big fan of her. She is so. She's so great. She's way too good for you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We've all been talking.
And this is the real sliding doors moment. Is we went on the first date, and this second date was meant to be a week later, and that's the day the lockdown was called. Mm. So. And then I suggested that we do the date on FaceTime and stuff instead. So the real sliding doors moment is that she didn't have a chance to date somebody of her caliber before the lockdown started. She's kind of stuck with me.
She's fallen in love with you. Yeah. Like an idiot.
Yeah, like a dumbass. Yeah.
Like a dumbass.
So romantic.
Yeah.
How was it dating on FaceTime?
You've got no choice.
No choice. Oh, that's quite good. It's quite good because it's like, it's really like, it's nice for meeting new people and getting to know new people because there's no like, you can really set boundaries and stuff.
Mm.
You're in a place that you're very comfortable with and you can just say like, all right, we're just going to chat for an hour or 2 hours or whatever.
Mm.
And then like it eventually becomes more regular and you also, it's very kind of safe way to get to know somebody.
Yeah.
And it was only for like 2-3 months, the first serious lockdown or whatever. So it's not like a huge amount of time.
So what did you then do when you could first meet up?
We just started hanging out in person, went for walks and stuff, and like started like we'd planned like when it became sort of clear that I think that we sort of wanted to keep seeing each other and getting to know each other, we'd like plan stuff to do together on Zoom when we were allowed to, which is quite nice.
I mean, you couldn't be physical for like a really long time.
No, it was great.
Oh, you loved it?
Yeah, I hate physical touch.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm only messing. That's one of the sort of the good things as well. There's no, like, the expectations are very, very clear when you're on Zoom. It's really nice. You just get to know somebody, like...
You were, like, dating from the 1800s.
Yeah, like, writing letters and shit.
Writing letters and, like...
They didn't have Zoom in the 1800s, Mickey.
Oh, wow.
They didn't.
You poked
a hole in it immediately. I can't believe it.
You're so wrong.
But I mean, like, going for like little walks and just talking.
We did do that. We did have a socially distanced walk like 2 months after.
Yeah, that's like very like that, old.
You know? I think the pandemic made dating incredibly wholesome.
I really liked it. Yeah,
I think those good old fashioned boundaries.
But you also do have to like
leave room for Jesus and all
that. Exactly. But there is also like
what I like.
There's like an element of it. It's like. like, if you are going to be in a relationship with somebody, you need to know how you coexist in physical space as well. So yes, we did sort of like, it, you know, you never know if like someone's going to hog the duvet or like leave all the plug sockets on at night or something unbearable, you know. Turns out I snore.
Do you?
Yeah. I have to wear little nose strips when I go to bed.
Do you wear nose strips?
Yeah. Oh, that, I think that's good. I'm so... Like, I cannot stand the whole argument of, like, it doesn't bother me, so I'm not going to worry about it. Mm. Like, from snorers.
From snorers. Like, I've been... People
Sounds like you've got a bone to pick with somebody in
particular. Yeah, I do. Because I was with somebody who snored, and that they were just... Like, they could not...
They didn't give a fuck.
They could not care that I could not sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And it just blew my mind. I was just, you know... But anyway, they were a terrible person. But that was the thing that, like, I could not get over.
My dad is a big snorer, like, here through the wall kind of
snorer. My family are all big snorers. Yeah.
But my mum, like, weirdly, like, sort of clicks in her sleep. So, like, when you'll hear, like, you'll hear through the wall, my dad being like... And then I'd hear... And then...
Do you have this
like
on tape?
Drop a beat.
That's crazy.
It was really weird. That's very rhythmic. Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I would not be able to sleep in the next room if that was going on.
Well, this is the
earplugs are a wonderful thing.
My girlfriend's a very light, quite a light sleeper compared to me. But also, it's really because I've not sort of been in a relationship with somebody since I was like 18, so I just didn't know it about myself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't really know, like, and then sort of. And she'd be like, yeah, you snore like, but it also seems like you're in distress. Like, apparently, like, I snore and I'll, like, wake myself up every 3 minutes while I sleep. And then,
going, oh, my God!
Yeah, and then I wake up and I'm like, God, I'm so tired. And then I tried, like, these snore remedies for the first time and it's like I had the best night's sleep I've had for literally 10 years.
Oh, really?
And I just had no idea.
Turns out I'm not anxious. I just snore myself awake.
Yeah, exactly. Man. It's like nearly die every 3 minutes every night that I sleep.
Are you glad that those things got cancelled?
Yeah.
That's good.
Absolutely.
That's a very nice way to look at things like that.
And I'm very I'm very happy. Yeah, and it's not, and my career I think is good. I'm enjoying it.
That's good.
Sort of falling back in love with stand-up comedy again post pandemic.
That's really nice.
Yeah. Because I felt like you lost it a little bit.
Absolutely. I was in the weeds. I barely gigged for 2 years. I was so scared of getting COVID and then loads of other stuff happened. And so but now it's good times. I just really enjoy being on stage and stuff. You know, I'm really grateful for the stage. I'm really grateful that the job, like, out the other side, the job's still here. I'm still doing it.
It's a weird way, because it's funny about the pandemic, isn't it? Because, like, I think most people, if given the opportunity to, like, go back and make it not happen somehow, would think about it. But, like, my life changed so much from the start of the pandemic to the end. Same. And I think some of that is probably pandemic related. Like, the catalyst was that situation I was in.
I mean,
and I don't know if I'd want to change those things. But at the same time, that was a terrible thing.
Yeah, it was an awful thing. I had family members who died and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just this, you can't really imagine your life going anyway other than the way it's gone. Especially with something as big as the pandemic, it's just changed sort of everything for so many people.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you're happy.
Very happy.
What are you going to do for your anniversary?
Well, nominally happy. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Say I'm happy on podcasts.
No, we'll cut that out.
Sort of daydreaming.
Ed is very happy.
Sticking a stick of dynamite in my mouth and lighting it.
Oh, like Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cracking my jaw open and unpeeling myself.
That's very good because that's a cartoonish, like, you've really, like, bookended it with your first story.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like
he's a pro.
Shooting myself in the head with a realistic gun.
We should actually thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Well, I should thank you.
Yes.
It's always a treat when you get to see two dear friends.
It's been a pleasure to have you. where can people find you?
Slime Country Podcast is what I'm
talking. Yes.
Yeah, Slime Country Podcast. Go check it out. If you want to hear more of this damn voice.
Sunil Patel.
Huge Davies.
Huge Davies.
Couple of no names.
Yeah.
And myself.
Yeah.
It's a good podcast. Everybody loves it.
It's so funny.
See my Donald Trump? Everybody loves it. How about that?
It's pretty good, actually. Thanks.
It's so funny if Sunil's on that podcast.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's a grown-up man.
Yeah.
And he's just there, like, reading out Harry Potter fan fiction.
Yeah, we make this guy called Sunil read out, like, the muckiest smut we can find.
So oh, God, I bet he hates it.
So we actually all have like a really good fun, and we all have a really good fun, and I think we're becoming best friends.
That sounds really nice.
It's
really
and nice. It's Thanks, a really Liam. Good podcast, and everybody really loves it, and so you should go and check it out, Slime Country Podcast.
Check it out, guys.
Thanks, man. Thank
you. Thanks for having
Great
me.
Great to have you. Bye.
Oh, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was Ed Knight.
Ed Knight, everybody.
God, he's changed a lot. Sexy voice.
Sexy voice.
Yeah. I'm going to listen back to that.
I love him. So much.
What a sweet man.
He's the best.
Very funny boy.
So funny.
Oh, man. Guys, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
For tuning in.
Yeah.
To I thank mean, fuck for that.
We've already told you everything in the beginning that we wanted you. What's left, really?
Another successful week on the pod.
Another successful... Sarah and I have successfully talked to yet another person.
We're doing really well. We looked into his eyes. And
we
he
did
talked
with
back.
Eye contact.
Yeah, the whole time.
I mean, honestly, every time we do this successfully, we are as baffled as you are.
Well, honestly, Lucas behaved himself the whole time. Didn't yeah. you, Lucas? So
Lucas, you kept your pants on.
Not like last time.
Lucas, you're really growing.
what's left? I guess just follow us online.
Follow us online. And please get in touch. Please give us a little rating if you enjoyed it. If you didn't enjoy it, then stay away from the rating system.
Come to our previews.
Get away from the rating system. Yeah,
come to our previews.
Come to our double back and preview.
Yeah. That's it, I think.
Yeah.
We love you.
We love you. I can't tell you how much we love you.
Aww.
But I'll try through a song.
Okay.
About
Cut
love.
It. Cut it.
About love.
Cut it. Cut it.
I love you.
Oh, God.
And
oh God.
No, you got to say your catchphrase, Mickey.
Oh, God. Okay, yeah.
Professionalism.
You'll hear us next time. Just
no,
cut it.
No, do it properly.
You'll hear us next time.
Do it properly. And
you'll hear us next time.
That's it.
So
That's where
me.
The money is. Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth and produced by Lucas Jeffcoat, with music from Ben Kavanaugh.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.